Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, our dear Healing Pack listeners. This is Eamon coming to you one more time. Hope you're doing well. You had a good week. It's Friday afternoon, and we are ready here to talk with you, serve you, help you, and catch up with some good stuff, some new stuff. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with a wonderful lady by the name of Jules Mitchell. Hello, Jules.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Jules is going to talk to us about some very interesting topics involving in yoga, and we're going to get to it very fast. But before we get to that good conversation, let me just check in with you guys first. How are you doing? How is life treating you? Are you breathing? A lot of people that I talk and interact with on training basis, on client basis, or on any other occasion, it seems like not many of us breathe completely, properly, enough. And also, the subject of sleeping and resting has come about a few times this week. I know our lives are fast-paced, and I know there is a lot to do, and there are many, many, many distractions for our attention and for our time and everything. But you know, our bodies are just like our equipment to get through the time to go through our life. And breath, air, and food, nutrition, are necessities to keep this good equipment of yours, this body of yours running. So please make sure that you spend plenty of time looking after yourself, working on your wellness, whatever that means to you, looking or spending time to actually slowing down and breathing and taking your environment in, eating well, sleeping well. All of these things matter a great deal. We love you. We care for you. We try to share a lot of different techniques and methods that will bring you self-healing, that will help you with your healing of yourself. And as interesting as this sounds, as silly maybe even as this sounds, we cannot emphasize enough that it is very important to look after these beautiful physical bodies of ours with breathing, with eating, with sleeping, with resting, so on and so forth. Again, this is Eamon from Healing Pack coming to you this week. I'm happy to be with you today. Healing Pack is a nonprofit 501c3 educational institute. We are at www.healingpack, that's healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, P as in Paul, A as in Apple, Q as in Queen, .org. You can reach us by email at help@healingpack.org. We will be happy to take your requests, to take the subjects that are of interest to you, and talk to other good people like Jules that are practicing those areas as their profession and bring you good, usable information. We have about 150-plus hours of podcasts, which are rated 5 stars in iTunes as well as very highly among other places, that are all available to you free of charge. They're on the internet at www.healingpack.org, and we cover quite a collection of different topics and subjects. If you go there, you can find practically help for anything or everything that may be challenging you these times. We also offer self-healing classes online by telephone. The classes are held Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. PST, Pacific Standard Time. The next series of classes will start in September. Please check them out. Look at the descriptions that are out there. Our emphasis is to teach you how to help yourself live better, turn your life challenges into success stories. It's not so much of come to us and we'll heal you. No, it's all about you. It's about teaching you how to heal yourself or how to practice to heal yourself. A lot of us know how to do things, but practicing it is a different story. And third subject is we also offer one-on-one sessions, and the sessions are held by myself, Iman, or by Amin sometimes. So feel free to contact us if you need help in any one of those areas. Now, there is one more announcement that I'd like to make. There is this organization called Great Nonprofits, and they specialize in working with and keeping records on nonprofits. I am happy to report that we have been recognized by Great Nonprofit as a top-rated nonprofit. So we are putting the information together. We want to thank you for all your wonderful reviews. If you go again to the website, there is an icon there. You can click on it and you can read the reviews that you have provided us. We really, really, really appreciate your care and your time in taking the time to write the reviews and rating us high. We are encouraged by your words, by your care, by your attention. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Now that I've done all my announcements, back to Miss Jules. How are you doing, Jules?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you again for taking the time to come and talk with us today. Traditionally, what we do is we ask our good guests like yourself to introduce yourselves and tell us what you do, and we start at that point. So would you please take a little time to share information about yourself with us?
Sure. I'm Jules Mitchell, and I do many different things, but they're all centered around yoga. I teach yoga. I primarily work with private clients. I have a very therapeutic approach that's based very much in the musculoskeletal system.
Okay.
That makes a little bit of sense because I'm a graduate student at Cal State Long Beach in biomechanics, and I'm working on a thesis which is research on stretching and what really happens when we stretch, what happens to all the different tissues, how they adapt in response to stretch, both chronically and acutely. And with all of that, I also organize a local event here in the South Bay of Los Angeles. I'm in Hermosa Beach, and I organize a local community event called the South Bay Yoga Conference that features local teachers like myself and other local great teachers that we get together and have an opportunity to help each other get the word of yoga out. So as one person, my reach is only so limited, but when I collaborate with 40 other local teachers, my reach is greater and so is theirs. So we work together to help spread the word of yoga, health, and wellness.
Fantastic. Let's start at the very basics with a very silly, silly question that I'm going to ask you.
Sure.
What is yoga? Define yoga, please.
That's a silly question. That's not silly at all. Yoga is, to me, the experience of yoga that I have is that it is awareness.
Okay.
So, you know, people take different approaches on what the vehicle they use to become aware.
Okay.
But ultimately, they all, to me, come down to awareness.
Fantastic. So the reason I asked that not so silly but silly question is that a lot of us assume we know what things are, but when we talk to professionals, people who practice a particular mode or system of teaching, the definitions might be different. So yoga is a system of awareness, and when some people use yoga as a sort of technique of meditation, they are basically becoming aware of their physical body, spiritual body, and emotional body. Is that what's going on?
Yes. Again, it just depends on the focus. You know, when I introduced myself, I had said that, you know, my focus is very musculoskeletal. So my approach, the approach that I have to teaching and practicing yoga is really based in movement and in movement patterns that are hidden from your view. So that's where the awareness comes, where you begin to realize that you stand a certain way all the time and you begin to see what the effects are. And then from there, you can begin to stand differently. So that being said, you could practice a different type of yoga with a different type of teacher and become a little bit more aware to the question, who am I? Or where do I belong? Or what does it mean to be a mother? Or all of these questions as well. And, you know, and they're all, it's all part of this big study of life and awareness. But yeah, my approach is a little bit more in the movement patterns and the habits that get developed over time that begin in our brain, but we don't see them. We don't know we're doing them.
So the patterns that you're talking about, are you talking about the Apana yoga that I read about in your bio?
Apana yoga is the style that I teach. And that is, the word Apana means in Sanskrit to extend your life with support. So we teach a Hatha yoga class. That is a blend of some warm-ups and then some static postures that are held for a considerable long time, and then some restorative postures that are held for even more time than the static postures. But the essence is that they're all used, held with support of some sort, a yoga prop or the wall or some sort of a partner, some sort of support so that, so that the patterns that you have become more present, meaning you get feedback. You know, the wall doesn't lie to you. If you stand against the wall, you know how you're standing. If you stand in the middle of the room, you don't necessarily know how you're standing. So you get some feedback to help you become a little bit more present to your patterns.
Okay, so the system of feedback that you're using to develop the awareness within the yoga helps you with your physical body. Are the stretches, are the movements, are the practices different than what we have seen in regular yoga that most people are familiar with?
The popular yoga? No, probably not. The idea is that the poses are still the same as what you expect. It's just we choose different variations to teach you something in particular. So, you know, I just taught a restorative class that was, there were 8 people in it, and I had 8 people. We were all doing, for example, child's pose. Everybody, I think, knows what child's pose is. But all the 8 people had a different setup. They needed a blanket here or a bolster here or a block here so that because they needed props to support them in the pose according to who they are and who they've been in their whole life, both in their emotional body and their physical body. And so that's what's a little bit different about it, is we really work with the individual and empower the individual to use the yoga props not to make the poses easier, but to make them find what needs to be happening in the pose for their body, for them to explore the concept of change.
Very interesting. So as people come to you, you spend some time, I'm sure, first observing them and trying to see their habits or the way that they're carrying themselves or standing or sitting or holding a position in physical form. And then you go at it with And then you go at it with exercises, with gentle pushing and shoving, or with props to change those habits. Is that a correct summary of what you described? Okay.
Yeah, now, and usually it doesn't take that much observing, because usually somebody comes to me and says, this has been my shoulder has been bothering me. And mm-hmm. so I can say, well, move your shoulder for me, you know, lift your arm, and right away you can see it. And then I start to see patterns. Well, if it's going to hurt in this position, it's also going to hurt in this position. I can start to anticipate where it's going to go. And so, you know, we work to undo those habits, basically. Because the shoulder doesn't say, I'm going to start hurting. It's something that we've done as the shoulders start hurting, right?
yes, definitely. So as you see where the so-called issue or the problem is, where the bad practice is, what is the process that one has to go to move from a bad or undesired physical posture to a desired physical posture? How does that happen? Do you help them? Do you help the people, or do they have to do it on themselves? Could you like kind of paint a picture for me on that?
Sure. Like with a typical client, you mean? Like how I run my business.
What I'm doing is I'm asking you to describe the physical process, because yoga, as you said, is a description or a story of awareness, to become aware of ourselves. So the easiest step of in awareness is the physical awareness, and then from there, yoga is also a method of meditation. You know, maybe can those processes or can those practices lead into what I'm doing with my own mental and psyche and emotions and that sort of thing. I'm trying to see if we can establish some sort of roadmap for our good listeners there.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I mean, the first part of it is that you can't, if there's pain or discomfort, it's very mm-hmm. difficult to be still.
Yes.
So, you know, all of this is so that we can be still comfortably. So okay. That's kind of the roadmap of the physical process. And many of us, as you said in the introduction, you know, we live our lives in a fast-paced manner. We're busy, and many of us have a little bit of a challenge simply turning that off and going into a peaceful, still state that's still alert, not sleeping. And so, you know, this practice is in the long term is designed to help that. So in the beginning, it's, you know, if there's pain or discomfort, it's really working more toward alleviating that. But as the pain and the discomfort goes away, then our own natural alignment, in each individual's own natural alignment, reveals itself, and in that natural alignment is stillness. I mean, if you look out in nature, you know, if there's a tree that is, you know, a branch is broken, that's not very still because it's compromised. But when the tree is this strong and healthy and nothing is broken on it, it's still. It can deal with the wind and it can deal with the forces of life, right? So it's a yeah. similar process. You know, not everybody that comes to me comes with pain and discomfort, but we right. all have some sort of something's keeping us from being still, whatever it is.
Okay. So the first step, the removal of pain, as you start taking your clients, the private clients or the group, and I understand you also do teaching in group environment and the classes, and we're going to go back and talk about the South Bay Yoga Conference as well. As you're working, say, with an individual, the first step is removing of the pain. Do you find people resisting removal of their pain? Would you like me
yes
to elaborate
and no.
on that?
Well, okay. I just have to think, because generally with my private clients, I rarely see resistance. Because by the time they found me, they've already pushed through any resistance. By the time they get to me, by the time somebody who's in pain, and you know, again, not all my clients are in pain, but by the time somebody comes to me who's in pain and says, I'm going to go the yoga therapy route, they're pretty eager. There aren't a lot of blocks in the way. However, in a group setting where I don't know people, and sometimes I see something, I don't even know if they're in pain or not, but I see something that would cause me pain.
Okay.
Sometimes they don't want, they don't necessarily, they didn't ask for the assistance. So I think it shows up more when it's not asked for, but with my private clients, they're coming to me and asking me, so they don't resist so much. In fact, they really welcome it and respond surprisingly well.
Something that I've noticed, a lot of people in regular daily activities, they tend to push the shoulders up to the size of the neck and hold the shoulders up. Mm-hmm. And that in itself seems to create a lot of stress and pain along the shoulder areas or the upper back area. Do you sometimes, you know, like among the people who have not get past the point of pain, do you find sometimes that, you know, as you point that out to them, they kind of resist it, or they say, no, I don't, my shoulders are relaxed. This, I mean, they have got so used to that particular posture that it has become normal for them.
Yes. I do see that, and then that's where the yoga prop comes in, because then I give them some feedback that has them realize what the difference is. And it might be in movement or it might be in a static position, but they might say that their shoulders might be up by their ears, and then I ask them to stand against a wall and hold a block up between their back and the wall, and they can't hold the block up if their shoulders are up. So they have to start making adjustments. And then that's when they get to see it. There's suddenly some feedback mechanism that's showing them what they've been doing versus what they are doing. So, yes, that does happen.
So you take them to a state where they can experience maybe an easier way of being, and that way they recognize the state that they're keeping themselves in is not necessarily the best way of doing it, is what
exactly.
I believe you said.
Yes,
excellent.
Exactly.
Now, once we go into that natural alignment, that activity that you just described, that, you know, hold the block between you and the wall, since that's new, does it take a lot of energy and effort and doing on the part of the client for them to get used to it?
It doesn't take doing. It takes undoing. And
that's
a tremendous amount of work. In some of my clients, it causes them to sweat. It's that much work. It's a tremendous amount of work to undo.
How do you encourage them or help them to step into the process of undoing? What are some of the helps and pointers or suggestions that you can share with our good healing packers that they can use in trying and undoing some physical movements? What do you suggest?
Breathing.
Breathe, okay.
Breathing.
Any particular style of breathing you promote?
It depends on the situation. It depends, you know, it's too hard to say theoretically. But I think when we are in a holding pattern, it is a lack of... It's either a lack of breath, lack of prana, whatever word you want to use, lack of energy, but to stir up the soft tissues so that things start to adapt, the breath must be present. And so a lot of times it'll be on the exhale. The focus will be to not do something on an exhale, because the body will move a lot on an inhale in the way that it kind of wants to, and then on the exhale to just depends on the person and the activity, but to not do something on the exhale is often.
I'm sorry, I didn't exactly follow that. What happens on the inhale and what happens on the exhale? Tell me again, please.
Well, very often in the in a holding pattern, of course this is not across the board, but in a physical holding pattern, the inhale will increase the movement, and then the exhale will lock and hold it, the pattern. And
okay.
So it's that allow whatever happens on the inhale to happen, and then during the exhale to try and undo whatever it is. It's too hard to speak theoretically, and it's a little bit hard to describe over the phone. But, you know, like let's use the example of somebody that's holding the block against the wall between their shoulder blades, basically against their upper back, and they're holding the block against the wall standing upright. So the inhale sometimes tends to push more and
okay.
Live to try to lift using the breath to hold the block up. And so I just try to let them do whatever it is that they want to do, and then on the exhale to see if they can undo all of that. So there's a sense of letting go and undoing during the exhale. And then once they find that, then you can add it to the inhale as well. But it's sometimes harder to teach on an inhale. It's easier to show the contrast, inhale, exhale.
Got it.
Because they're,
go ahead.
No,
you first. Me first? Okay.
No, I lost it.
You are a biomechanist and a graduate student in exercise science. So tell me,
yes.
Why is breathing so important besides the fact that if we don't breathe for 3-4 minutes, we die? What happens when we breathe? What happens in the body that makes breathing such a big factor?
I'm not a physiologist, so without going into the physiology of the breath, if we want to go basically onto the biomechanics perspective,
yes,
which is how forces respond in the body, the body either pushes against gravity or the body either surrenders to gravity. And
through the breath,
the body can continually play the balance between the two. So if somebody, think of like a great example is downward dog. I'm just going to bring it back to yoga because most people understand what yoga is. You can be in a downward dog and you can be pushing really, really hard.
Okay.
Or you can be in a downward dog and you can be flopping. Like think of the overly flexible people, just, you know, flopping in the pose. And neither one of those are a favorable relationship to gravity. And if you try them in your own bodies, you'll notice in both situations, the breath will be restricted. And so the breath allows us to ride between the two because we're constantly seeking balance and the universe constantly pulls us one direction or another. And so the breath teaches us to live with these fluctuating forces, basically. And so, well, the force is constant, but to live in our fluctuating body with the force and to help us achieve that calm stillness that we're looking for ultimately in our yoga practice.
Very interesting. The concept that the body is constantly trying to go with gravity or against gravity through the breath was very interesting and new to me. I had never heard that. So thank you for sharing that. Okay, so...
I just want to add that I think that's really the biomechanist perspective. We really just deal with forces. So... sometimes that gets a little bit misunderstood, and that's just why I chose to answer in that way. There's, of course, the breath does many other things, but really, if you want to look at the way that the body is as a structure within the forces of Earth, then that's the perspective that I took for you.
So the biomechanist is about the study of forces for and against. Is that a good, simple...
study of forces on the body.
Forces
so
on the body.
It's just how do forces on the body affect joint structure? How do forces on the body affect bone growth? How do forces on the body affect the ability to take full, deep breaths? How do forces on the body affect spinal curve? You know, that kind of stuff.
Very nice. Now, you said something else which I found to be very interesting, that you said our body is constantly seeking balance. Is that physically? Because, you know, emotionally everybody wants to find balance, but I think you're referring to physical body.
Yes.
In this case. Tell us a little about that. How does our body seek balance within that context?
Well, it's like it's something similar like homeostasis, right? I mean, our body, if you look at, for example, temperature, our body is always striving to maintain a balanced temperature. When the body gets too cold, the cellular activity changes. When the body gets too warm, cellular activity changes. We respond. And so the same thing is true for forces. If our bones don't have enough force, they don't grow enough. If our bones have too much force, they are compromised. We're looking for that right amount of balance, that right amount of force in our body. Also for muscle tissue, if the muscle tissue doesn't move, same with fascia. If we don't move in, you know, a wide variety of natural ways, the tissues don't respond in that balanced way. They harden, they become weakened, and so I don't remember what your question was, but I think I was going there.
No, it's very good. Well, let me change it on you now. For somebody who's very informed and involved in all these studies, it's great to know all these details. For our average people like me, who doesn't have all this information, do I need to dive into all these details before I can benefit from these practices? Or can I just practice, start benefiting, and then learn as I go along? Tell me what happens there with new people.
Yeah, no, you just come and practice. It's a whole, I mean, you know, what I would maybe introduce one small concept and then let that be something that's introduced to you for several months at a time. It's not something to, it's not something to take on. This is my field of study. I just get to share it with people in a way that they understand, which is in their bodies when they're doing a downward dog.
Through
it's easier
exercises,
to do in a yoga pose than it is to describe over the phone.
yes, definitely, most definitely. I really appreciate the time and care that you're taking to share it with us. It is kind of difficult to do this over the phone, as you mentioned. Okay, so the first step was removal of the pain. The second step was the natural alignment. So you take people through the poses and you help them to get to a natural state of alignment. I believe you just mentioned another step, which is practice. You know, you got to keep doing this in order to change the patterns. Is that a correct assumption?
Yes, and that's actually when you had asked me earlier about resistance. That is where the resistance comes. My students don't like to practice at home, even though I tell them to. I write them yoga prescriptions. I take pictures of them so they remember how they should set it up, email them to them, and they still come to me and they have not practiced.
You mean there are no way to take a couple of pills and call you in the morning and be naturally aligned?
Exactly.
What's even funnier
is I used to not practice the piano when I was a young girl, and I would show up at my piano lesson every week and I would tell my teacher I'd practiced. And now I realize she knows I did not practice. She could know. Now I realize that. I thought I could pull one over on her.
The shoe's on the other foot now, huh?
Yep. They walk in the door, I can see it. I have not practiced.
Okay, fantastic. So the third step is practice. In motivating people to practice, let's take the practice. We talked about resistance. Why is it that we do not practice? I mean, we come to you, we see these things, you show it to us during the exercise throughout the movement. I notice the pain is going away. I notice I'm feeling better. Why in the world is it that when I go home, I do not practice to go to that better state. What are some of the reasons that you hear from people?
Oh, boy. They're not reasons. They're just excuses.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to be nice. The
what
dog
do I
ate
hear?
My practice.
No, I hear, you know, I don't hear that many. I hear a lot of, no, I just didn't do it. Because I think at this point we all know that, you know, it's the same time, money, prop, space, all that stuff.
Okay.
So I don't really, you know, they're with me for such a short amount of time that, you know, I don't really
get into
want to
a
indulge
lot of
in that. Yeah, you know, I had one client recently and she said, oh, you know, I don't have this particular, like a yoga bolster, which is something like a pillow, a big cushion. Oh, I mm-hmm. don't have one of these at home. And I said to her, I said, well, I sell them, but I'm not going to sell you one because I know you can fold up a blanket at home and do it. You don't need more stuff.
Yeah,
it's not
yeah.
the stuff that's having you not do it. Because if you really wanted to, you would have used your couch cushion or a bedroom pillow or a folded up blanket. So I'm not going to let you buy something. And then that was a good, she heard me then. And so she went home and started practicing with what she had at home.
So what I believe you're touching on is whether the people have the intention to do it or not. If we have the intention, if we want to do it, we find a way of doing it. If we don't want to do it, we find a way of not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the easy way. I mean, many of them want to do it and still don't because life gets in the way, but... Or say they want to. There's a big psychology there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably better off to discussing the psychology of it than me.
Very, very true. I mean, it's yeah. There is a lot of things that goes on. Okay, now this was all on the physical part of it. Now we have heard yoga is a way of meditation. Is it as simple as get in the pose, get in the posture, breathe, hold the position, and become aware of your system, of your body, or is there something else going on? When you go in private teachings, is it like sort of a meditative teaching, or is it more physical?
It's quite physical. The most that I'll do is near the end, I'll give them a resting posture, either a restorative posture or
okay.
sometimes just a shavasana, just a reclined posture and some breathing.
I'm sorry for interrupting you. Would you explain okay. what restorative posture is for listeners who may not know?
Absolutely. A restorative posture is a yoga posture that requires zero muscular effort to maintain the shape, which means it's not standing. It's usually on the back. It can
laying
be a
down.
Prone position. It can be laying down, face down. It can be seated as well with support in certain areas, but
mm-hmm.
basically there's equipment, chairs, props, blocks, something is holding you up in a certain shape. But it's still a yoga posture, meaning it could still be a back bend, or it could still be a twist, or it could still be a forward bend. You know, it's not always just a flat laying down position. It can be, but it can also be an actual yoga position held up by support. And that can be, those positions can be held for up to 20 minutes. And so in that time, is when, you know, there's a great opportunity for meditation because, as we know, especially in recent decades, that everything is really connected.
Yeah.
And the tissues of the body that are controlled by the parasympathetic nervous system are have a chance to respond when the sympathetic nervous system is quieted. And they are not exclusive of each other. And so we can use the physical to help us access beyond the physical.
Very nice. Now, in the description, you also talk about, you just mentioned restorative yoga, and you also talk about power yoga. What is power yoga? Where you buy, is it like you buy power tools and do yoga, or what's going on?
No, you know, power yoga, I'm glad you asked, because it means a lot of different things to many different people. But it would be, by my definition, it would be the strong version of the same mm-hmm. concept. So, for example, using an example I've already used, standing, holding a block between the wall and your upper back, and your mid and upper back. Well, if you did that on a handstand, right, the posture yes. changes because your relationship to gravity changes, but in a handstand, you're really still just standing upright, only now you're standing on your hands. And yes. if you tried to place a block in the same spot between the upper back and the wall, new challenges would arise. That's not quite restorative. That's a little bit more power yoga. But it's the same idea. There's still something to be learned about holding patterns.
So it's very interesting. It sounds like we can choose our style of yoga. We can exercise our free will in selecting which style to work with, from mm-hmm. restorative or completely easy to powered or completely engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Very
and they're both therapeutic. They will both cause changes in the body, which is wonderful, and adaptations. So therapeutic yoga, I think, sometimes has the connotation that it's just laying around and feeling good, which it is, but you could also practice a therapeutic style of yoga in a challenging, more powerful stance.
Okay, now let's move on to South Bay Yoga Conference. What is this conference? What's going on?
The South Bay Yoga Conference is a community event in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's put on by all volunteers. It's a 100% volunteer-run organization, and we offer pretty much everything the South Bay has to offer for yoga. So we offer a variety of classes that are from and every different modality, as wide range as we can find. And we also, and those are workshops that you take that you need a pass for, but then we also offer different types of yoga events that are free and open to the public, that are more shorter, not long workshops, but shorter, more demonstrative style, where you can participate. Everything like kids yoga to acro yoga, the therapeutic flying, and that's another example. There's going to be hula hoop yoga this year, and all of that. I know all of that's outside and that's free and open to the public is joined with music and entertainment that's daily. And then we also have a marketplace which features local vendors and small businesses that are all like-minded with similar intentions to expand health and wellness in our community. And so it's basically all of us in this industry that are in the area getting together to put on an event so that we can better serve the public and that they can learn more about us. The idea is that they come and try new styles, new teachers to expand their understanding of what yoga can be, since it can be so many different things. And ultimately, our mission is that they find something that they love. Because,
wonderful.
As you know, as you just said, there's so many different styles. Somebody might have gone to a yoga class once, and it was too hard, and they never liked it and never went back because they weren't exposed to all that it could be, when what that person really needed was a meditation class. And so now they can come to the event, and they can pick and choose and meet all these new teachers and try new things.
Oh, fantastic. And as you just described, it's for people of all levels, from
yes.
below or before beginner to all the way to post-expert.
Yes, exactly. Most of our classes are not very challenging, meaning physically vigorous, although there are a few and they're clearly noted that they are. The rest of them are open to anybody of all levels. They're designed to be introductory in concepts. And if it's not working for them, they're welcome to leave and go to another class. One of the great things we have is we don't make you pre-register. Once you have a pass, you can go to whichever class you'd like. So that so that if you're at the event and you happen to meet one of the teachers, which is what we stand for, we want all the teachers there meeting people, and they and you seem to like what they have to say, you can change your mind and go to their class all of a sudden instead of what you're going to go to. So it's a very open festival style event that is designed to get us all interacting, everybody in the community interacting.
How can our good healing packers and listeners, especially the ones who are in Southern California area of Los Angeles or South Bay specifically, where can they find the information about the South Bay Yoga Conference, please?
So our website is South Bay Yoga Conference, all one word, .com, www.southbayyogaconference.com. And on there, you'll find all the information that you'll need. And just the most important thing to distinguish is that the yoga schedule is the two-hour yoga workshops, and those courses require a pass. But there's entertainment, music, and a free yoga schedule, and all of that is free and open to the public. So if those listeners aren't sure, oh, I'm not sure if I really know what this yoga event is about, you can just come by, drop by one day, see what it's all about, and enjoy some of the free entertainment. And then if you want to buy a pass, you can, or if you want to think about it for next year, you can. But we really just want everybody to come out. That's the whole point.
And our good listeners, among the events that Jules is talking about, there are many, many new techniques and modalities and teachings that are going on. And one of them that I would like to share with you on behalf of Healing Pack is called figure eight meditation and figure eight circulation. Basically, the figure eight new way of meditating, circulating, it enables you to access and synchronize with more intense divine white light for healing and sending energy to yourself, to others, and to living earth. The class and the techniques that will be shared, they will integrate various chakra colors at the heart and soul center, and they will create white light out of it. And in the conference, we have an event scheduled for Friday, August 9th, from 4:20 to 6:20 p.m. The conference, what day does the conference start, Jules? On
August
9th? August
9th to 11th, Friday, Saturday,
okay,
Sunday.
Okay, so it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. On the first day of the conference, good listeners, on Friday from 4:20 to 6:20 p.m., Amin, who is an active founder of Healing Pack, and I'm sure you know him very well because he does a lot of these podcasts, he will be teaching this figure eight meditation, circulation, and infinity meditation. The class is free of charge, if I remember correctly. It's open to public, and you are most certainly invited to come, and we would love to have you there and share the information with you. And
that
I'm sure
class
as,
is actually for the pass holders.
Oh, it is for the pass holders.
Mm-hmm. The two-hour workshops are for the pass holders, so
okay.
That's on the yoga schedule. But any of the stuff that's on the free schedule, those are shorter, like 30-minute intros. So.
I see. The longer classes are, yeah. And what's
the
charge?
Yeah, the workshops.
How much are the passes, Jules?
The passes are $100 per day.
Uh-huh.
And there's up to four classes a day that you can take. So you can buy a one-day pass, a two-day pass, or a three-day pass.
Mm-hmm,
and we run specials all the time. We are currently, as of today, passes are 30% off. Through, I believe, June 1st.
And then that special will go away and then a new one will start. So we just had 50% off and now we're doing 30% off. So the sooner you buy, the better.
Okay. And again,
and that you can do on our website too.
To purchase the pass, please go to southbayyogaconference.com. And Jules promises to choose a shorter URL for next year, but I'm just kidding. No.
Well, you know, I wanted to buy SBYC, but the Santa Barbara Yacht Club took it. So, well, but once you type it in the first time, it remembers.
Well, I will come and attend, and in your drop box, in your suggestion box, I will drop in SB Yoga Conference. Jules, for people who are interested in contacting you for more information for your private or group trainings, where can they find you, please? Your contact.
They can find me at my website, and my website is www.julesmitchell.com. It's spelled J-U-L-E-S Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L. So julesmitchell.com, and all my information is on there.
And our dear listeners, if you're driving or if you're in a situation where you cannot take all this good information down or write it down, have no fear. If you go to healingpack.org, on the upper right corner, you will see a small circle with the letter H in it, which stands for Healer's Corner. And if you click on that, you will see a list of good people that we have interviewed with. And on top of the list, you will find Miss Jules Mitchell. You click on the link and you will get Jules' page with an embedded audio player that will allow you to listen to this conference or to this interview again. And also all the links are hyperlinked, including access to other material that you may find useful. So simply just go to healingpack.org, go to Healer's Corner, and look for Jules' name. And how can you forget a name like that? Just think of jewelry. We have a few more minutes before we close our talk. As general guideline, advice, pointers through all the years that you have been doing this, Jules, when a new person comes to you, what would you recommend them to do, and also what would you recommend them to not do? With respect to yoga, obviously.
Yeah. my advice is to just move.
Okay.
To explore. I think that we get stuck in our society with high expectations and perfection. And we think, I'm not going to practice, I'm not going to do this because I don't know if I'm doing it right. And if we don't do it, we won't learn. So just try it.
Just try it. There was something I wanted to ask you on a personal note. Many years ago, when I went to a yoga class, and they called it, of all things, extreme yoga, which I found to be very interesting because yoga is supposed to be an exercise of awareness and relaxation. And I ended up hurting myself by going into postures and positions that my body was not ready for that. So the suggestion of just move is very good. When you say just move, are you talking about any sort of physical activity or yoga activity?
Any sort of activity. Okay. I find yoga in anything. And just, you know, this is where the challenge is, because within any movement is risk for injury. Does that mean that we should not move?
Correct.
Right? So it's, I find that the biggest challenge really is group classes, because a competitive level comes into play and we end up not just moving or trying it, we end up trying it with an agenda to perform in a certain way. And that's not the same thing that I'm talking about. I'm talking about just try it and move and see what happens, but don't try it to impress or exceed what your body has been doing up till now. try it with a little bit of amusement and exploration and trust yourself. That's the most important.
And you're absolutely correct, because I do recall back then when I was just starting and doing it and I hurt myself, I do recall that there was a point that my body said, thank you, I had enough. And I was like, no, they're continuing. I can't quit now. I have to keep going. And as you just said, that's how I probably ended up hurting myself. So movement is essential. Breathing is essential. Intention is good. Practice is good. And last but certainly not least, South Bay Yoga Conference from Friday, August 9th to Sunday, August 11th in South Bay, California.
Yep.
Thank you so much, our
Thank
dear
you
listeners.
So much.
You have been listening to Jules Mitchell. Jules Mitchell, you can reach her at exactly that, JulesMitchell.com. She is a fantastic student and practitioner and teacher of yoga, and she would love to share all the information that you may need with you, and she does training as private or in group classes. There is also the South Bay Yoga Conference coming up in August. The location, what is the location of the conference? It's in South Bay, obviously.
Yeah, it's at Redondo Union High School, which is on
at
Pacific
Redondo.
Coast Highway, in Redondo Beach.
Very nice. And Healing Pack will be offering a figure eight meditation and circulation. Figure eight is extremely powerful. We have different podcasts and material that we have shared on the webcast, on the website, and also on social media with you. So I have not got into much many details there. Take care of yourselves. Have yourself a very nice, good, appreciative time. Just breathe, smile, enjoy the little pleasures of life. Life is full of up and downs. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Jules, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to have this conversation with us during this hour. Take
care. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Take care. Have a nice long weekend till we speak again. Goodbye.
Bye.